Amen. So, I want to do something to start with. I want y'all, and we'll see how this goes. I hope it goes good. I want y'all to think of something that's unfair, and if you will, rant about it to the person next to you for about 30 seconds. Just real quick, just do that. I need you to do that. All right, that's good. That's good. So, so I did that. I did that with the youth group, and it actually turned into the whole time. So that was better than this time. But no, I wanted to do that to show y'all something. How easy was it for you to come up with something that was unfair? We didn't really have that long of a big blank pause of silence in that time, did we? It grew pretty quickly, didn't it? And I don't know what y'all thought about, but when I've done this with other people, typically the things that we go to is maybe like it's unfair at our job if somebody gets a raise when we feel like we deserve that raise. Or maybe, well, for students, it was, you know, maybe a school teacher. Or y'all can think back, you know, to when you were in school and you may have that one school teacher that, regardless of how hard you worked or, you know, how hard you tried in their class, you still may not have made the best grades, and they would just tell you and remind you that you didn't make the best grades. You know what I mean? They would let you know that, very much so. Or maybe in our families, maybe you can think about your own family, and it may not look the way that you would ideally like it to, and that may be unfair to you. Or your friendships. Maybe your friendships, maybe they're not the way that you would intend on them being if you had a perfect situation. But the reason that I wanted you to think of something that was unfair is because a lot of times, today we're talking about forgiveness, and I wanted to talk about forgiveness a little bit because forgiveness can feel unfair sometimes. Fair? If you think about it like a scale or a balance, when you forgive somebody, it tends to feel like, you know, you're on this side and they're on this side, and you're giving them something, right? And so the scale tips in their favor. And that feels unfair. So it feels like you're giving them something that they didn't earn, that they didn't deserve, that you didn't really have to give them. You know what I mean? And it just starts to feel like an unfair situation. And this can seriously affect our lives because eventually we'll get to the point where we don't want to forgive anybody. And then we get into that mind process of, well, am I really supposed to just let something go? Am I really supposed to just let them have that on me? It almost feels like you're letting the other person win, right? If we're being honest about forgiveness. It feels like you're giving them a freebie. And that's really why I think the parable that we're going to look at today is so important to our faith and so important to how we as Christians can live out our lives. And I think that's why it's in the Bible as well. So, if you will you turn with me to Matthew 18, either in your Bible or on your Bible app, to Matthew 18, and I'm going to start with verses 23 through 27. Now, this is the parable of the unmerciful servant. And right before this, Peter has asked a question to prompt this parable. And he basically asks, how many times should I forgive? And Jesus, you know, says, not seven times, like Peter suggests, but 77 times, or 70 times 7. And then we get into this parable that Jesus tells about forgiveness. So, I'll just start at 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master order that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay everything back. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. So, to start, this guy's really smart, okay? Because he's taken a lot of money from his master, and he's done it clearly over the course of time. And I kind of say that jokingly, but I kind of don't, because it's important to know that this guy knows what he's doing for the rest of the parable that we read. He knows what he's doing. He knew that he was borrowing money. He was smart. And then the master requested it back. Now notice that the master didn't say, okay, I forgive you, but then you're still going to have to pay it back, right? He canceled it. He cut it off. He was like, okay, it's fine. I can tell that you can't afford this. And I don't know about you, but when I'm in a situation of forgiveness and somebody tells me, you know, that I'm forgiven, I'm typically okay with that. You know, you feel like you're on the receiving side of forgiveness is typically a good thing, and you don't really question it too much, and you let it be okay. It's a little bit different when you're on the other side, of course. But I think we all tend to have that bias about forgiveness, that it's easier to receive forgiveness than to give forgiveness. So I'm going to keep going, verses 28 through 33. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me, and I will pay it back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said. "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" And I'm going to pause because I want you to think of how the master felt in the situation. Think of a time maybe you've given forgiveness to somebody, and then you can see them not doing that to others. It's almost a slap in the face. This guy said, okay, I'm glad I'm forgiven, but that doesn't require me to do anything about it. I'm still going to get my couple bucks that my friend owes me. And basically mugs him and throws him into jail for something infinitesimally smaller than what he owed. Fair? Keep going, 34 and 35. In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." So at the end of the parable, of course, Jesus shows his disciples what the parable is really about, what the story is really about. Why is he telling them this? And what he wants them to see is that there's a different way to look at forgiveness. You see, Peter was asking, how many times do I have to forgive? Because at that time, after in the Jewish community, if you forgave three times, it was off your hands. You didn't have to worry about it. So it was more about how many times I forgive, not do I mean it when I forgive. And that's what Jesus Christ was trying to show his disciples, is that it's not about how many times, but it's about does it matter? And he just simply means that forgiven people forgive. He's trying to show them that when you're forgiven, then you're to forgive others. Now, this is really important for us because as followers of Jesus Christ, right? Jesus Christ has forgiven us of so much. Fair? He's forgiven us of more if we put ourselves in the shoes of the unmerciful servant. He's forgiven us of more than we could ever pay back. In the story, in the parable, he would have to given up his life, his wife's life, his children's lives, and everything he owed, and it still wouldn't have been enough. We are very much in the same position as human beings. Jesus Christ has forgiven us of vastly more than we could ever imagine paying him back. Right? We don't own the currency to pay Jesus Christ back. We don't own what that would take to pay it back. If you'll go with me for a second, I would say that it's the same way in our relationships with others when we need to forgive others. Think about that school teacher that I was talking about earlier that just dogged you and just told you that you were never going to amount to anything because of a grade that you made in their class, right? They take your confidence when they do that very quickly. Your confidence is shot, right? Well, to correctly, literally pay you back, they would have to pay you back with confidence, right? So last time I checked, I don't know where you go buy confidence to give it to people or where you can just, you know, give confidence to somebody, but I don't think that you can, and that teacher can't give you confidence back. They don't have the currency to give you back what they owe you. They have no way to do that. The same thing in relationships when people have hurt you, talked about you, said things that were not true, but it destroyed your reputation. Or maybe they have just straight up hurt you and your family and are not sorry about it at all. What they do in those situations is they take time from you. Time that you spend worrying about what happened and replaying it over in your head like a bad movie. Effort. All of your effort and all of your energy goes towards thinking about that same thing as well. And like, they can't pay you back your peace. People who take these things from you don't own that currency. Because nobody in here can give me more time. We don't own time. We have no way to give that back. We have no way to give energy back. We don't own the currency that it takes. So when you hold a grudge against somebody and you choose not to forgive them for something that they can't pay you back in the first place, then you incur the debt. You incur the hurt. You hold on to that worry. You hold on to constantly wasting your time thinking about it. It stays on you because they can't pay you back. It would be like going to another country and trying to use American dollars. It won't work. And that's what Jesus is trying to show them. So we're on give and take. And I said I was going to hope that when we leave this place that we can take up forgiveness. But to take up forgiveness, first, you have to give up something. And that thing that you have to give up is your right. You have to give up your right to payback. Because it's not going to happen. You don't have the right to payback. Because that person can't give you back confidence and time and effort and energy. It's not possible. And over in Colossians, it says, in Colossians 3:13, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. So how did the Lord forgive us? How did God forgive us with the Son on the cross? How did he forgive? He forgave fully, without expectation of payback, knowing that it would cost him something. And that's how we are to treat other human beings. That's how we're to treat not just other followers, but everyone with complete forgiveness, with full forgiveness, knowing good and well that they don't own the currency to pay us back. It's not possible. So, this word forgiveness, to help you remember that, it's a good word, it's a funny word, forgive, right? The word forgive, it means to give somebody something before they deserve it or have earned it. That's what to forgive means. It means to give somebody something before they deserve it, before they've earned it, without expectation of payback. So, this question is what I want to leave you with, in hopes that we can give up payback and take up forgiveness. Think about that person. I know that when I asked y'all to rant, I know that not all of it went to a person, it went to a situation. But think about a person that you haven't forgiven in your life. Just think about them right now. What would that person literally have to pay you back to make things even? What is holding you back from paying that person back, from forgiving that person? What is keeping you from that? What would bridge that gap? What is causing you to leave that there? And is that even possible? Can they even do that? Do they even hold that kind of currency? That's what I hope that we can take up, is a kind of forgiveness that doesn't expect anything in return, and it doesn't expect payback. Will you pray with me? God, I pray that we'll hear your word today. I pray that we'll hear from you. I pray that we'll understand what you're trying to say to us. I pray that you'll keep us constantly reflecting you and constantly reflecting the forgiveness that you've given to us first. And out of that forgiveness, I pray that you can grow that in our hearts and allow us to take up a forgiveness that doesn't expect anything in return. I ask these things in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, when y'all go out those doors, remember that this is good news. This is a good thing. It's good to forgive because Jesus Christ forgave us first. And when you forgive, it frees you up. It frees you up to love a lot more. It really does, because you don't have to spend that time worrying about what they did wrong to you. You can look at how you can love them more. So I hope you'll have a wonderful week, and I pray that you're blessed. See y'all.